Banyagani, everyone. Banyagani is a Swahili word for what's the news. And generally the reply is Njema, good news. We don't say hi because too many people get high. And we don't say hell because hell is low. And so we don't do that. We don't say hello because hell is low. And we, we try to realize that Swahili is the most, one of the 10 most popular languages in the world. And it's spoken all over, in many places, the majority of the places on the continent of Africa. The reason that Swahili was chosen by the US organization and others during the 60 movement was because of that. It don't belong to any particular ethnic group. It's generic on the continent. And to distinguish our uniqueness as an African people, we want to have an African language. Now, I'm not fluent in Swahili. I know a lot of the terms, but I never studied it. And I never did what a lot of people in the 60s, they really got into it. I mean, you know, but its influence is all over the world. People name their kids Swahili names, along with Muslim names, Arabic names. But when you say Imani, and when you say Nia, when you say, Imani, and as well as Nia and Ujamaa, Jamal, and all of that Swahili. And so it's used. And it's a very popular language on the continent of Africa. And to bring it here, just like when you hear Chinese talking Chinese, and you see Latinos speaking Spanish, even though Spanish is a European language, but they're not speaking English, they're speaking European. Spain is in Europe, the reason the Native Americans speak Spanish is the same reason we speak English. We was conquered. And so, but Swahili, it's a beautiful thing to greet each other with warm words from our culture. You can't call yourself a culture organization if you don't institute culture activities in your food, and those are just ritualizations and customs. Culture is the ritualization of your existence. A cult is what your culture is, and the cult is what your culture is, and a cult is the people practicing the culture. In other words, Christians, Jesus is the cult, a cult would be Christians, And so that's very, very important to understand the importance of us in practicing Kwanzaa is an African-American celebration of family, community, and culture. So you blended it all together. And, a lot of people practice Kwanzaa but don't know what it's really about. And, sometimes, they just think it's about getting together with food and wearing dashikis or African attire and, at one time a year. But Kwanzaa is about the practice of seven principles year round. In most events that we have, lectures, entertainment, we have what they call the Tambiko, which is libations. And that's honoring our ancestors, practicing the morality of remembrance. Honoring our ancestors is that Fannie Lou Hamer said, never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that brought you over. Mem Kaw Bethune said, we are heirs of a great legacy and it's our responsibility to continue that legacy and honor that legacy of a people. The other thing is Kwame Ture say history is quantitative and qualitative. It's about, certain amounts of it and the quality of the activity. Dr. Karanga always argued that history is the record of a people shaping the world into their image and interest. And dealing with role models to emulate, progressive corrections, what may be a part of the history today may not be a part of the history in the future, or whatever you know. So you got to leave room for corrections as you do your research. And the same thing with regards to honoring our ancestors, those that struggled before us, the Malcolm X's, the Marcus Garvey's, the Carl Bethune's, Fannie Lou Hamer, who started one of the first political independent parties in Mississippi called the Mississippi Freedom Party, and went to the convention, the Democratic Convention, and said, we have to question America. There's so many people, when you start thinking about Frederick Douglass, and you start thinking about A. Philip Randolph and W.E.B. Du Bois, some Black people think life is the way it is. Yeah, they never were a part of a Holocaust of enslavement legacy. And so many of us think that, our kids think that we could always drink at the fountain and go to restaurants and sit where we wanted to sit. They didn't realize that every inch of liberation we had, we struggled for. And people pay the price for it. And so we honor them. We honor those on the continent and in the world. And the Pan-Africanism is that we see ourselves as relatives to all Africans on the continent. We don't know what part of Africa we came from. So that's why we say we're just Africans. That means the whole continent. And one of the problems we have is because when they, in the Holocaust of enslavement, they had breeding farms where your oldest brother may be the father of your younger brother, because they made the sons have sex with the mothers, and the mothers have sex with the sons, and the brothers and sisters have sex. That's why Alex Haley was sued 5 times about this plagiarism and distortion of history in his book, Roots. He's a great writer of Malcolm X autobiography, but when it came to Roots, it's called a historical novel because it's a story, and he borrowed from other books. They say he made, out of those 5 suits, I think he made 2 settlements. And the point is that it doesn't take away from his genius and the role in the document and being one of the most successful many series that ever was watched on TV, because it was an example of the struggle that we went through as a people. And it created a lot of chaos in schools. Brothers were walking up and sisters were walking up firing on white people. And, it gave a sense of understanding of how brutal the Holocaust of enslavement was. But anyway, so we honor those ancestors, those that we knew, and even those that we didn't know that made a contribution to our liberation and to our forward flow and our flourishing today. Some people, they think from a spiritual standpoint, they thank God, they thank their parents, and they thank, their spouses, but they never sometimes think about the heroes and heroines that became martyrs for our liberation and our development and our forward flow and flourishing in the society. So that's one of the reasons we pour libations. The second is a morality of remembrance. I mean, Malcolm said history is the one science that rewards all research. History is a foundation. I mean, John Henry Clark said, history is the compass of a people. It tells them where they've been, where they are, and helps them get where they're trying to go. And so history is very important. We don't sometimes put the emphasis that we should, some people don't, those of us that know better do better, as Rashi Key would say. But the point is that history, and we have a moral obligation to teach our history, even if it's covertly to our children. Let them know the truth, the foundation of truth is more truth. That's why, you know, people keep researching and looking for more truth. So that's very important. So we have a morality of remembrance with regards to that. And then at the same time, we give an honor to the afterlife of the righteous. For those that believe that there's an afterlife, if it's nothing but in spirit and in remembrance, we pour libations. And it generally is you pour water, which is supposed to be sacred water, and you call out names, or you can do it in Yoruba, or you can do it in English. And it's just a libation. Some people do it at weddings. People do it at their, homegoing cereal. But you have generally an African cup, and you have something with plants in it where you put the water in. And that's very important. So the Tambiko, upholding the model of human excellence, is very important. And that's why we look at those people like Du Bois and Garvey and Dr. Yosef Ben-Yochanan, Francis Cresswell-Sein, and all those that, you know, just came up with Black perspectives to help us maintain our Blackness, maintain our strive toward excellence as human beings. I mean, we realize all human beings were brought into the world to do good and bring good into the world. Some choose not to. Some choose other things. And that we have respect for all human beings, but we have a special respect for ourselves. And, and that's very critical with regards to libations. And that's why they pour libations. It's very, very important that we do that. Now we're getting into the symbols of Kwanzaa, which is very critical. I want to welcome Brother Joe Hembrick, our co-host of Conscious Corner, who chimed in, and anytime, Joe, you want to make a comment from a historical perspective, please just come on in. Okay, now we're going to talk about the symbols of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa has seven basic symbols and two supplemental ones. I mean, like I said, a lot of people don't even know how to celebrate it. Less more, you know, understand in depthness. It's non-sectarian, meaning it's not a religious holiday. It's a celebration, and it's nonpartisan. It's not a political holiday. It's about our culture as African people. We're celebrating the values and the perspectives of our culture that very few people can argue against. And so these symbols are symbols that were put together by the organization, us and Dr. Karenga, as a part of the Kwanzaa celebration. Kwanzaa has seven basic symbols and two supplemental ones that was added. Okay, each represents values and concepts reflective of African culture. That's very important. There's no difference between African and Blackness. They say, well, you know, I'm a Black African. Well, there ain't no other kind of African. Anybody else come and say that they are African like they do in South Africa and at one time Zimbabwe, which was formerly Rhodesia, named after a conqueror, Cecil Rhodes, and the Rhodes Scholar ship after he murdered people. And then they have Lake Victoria and all of that. These are Europeans that are joking, talk about the partitioning of Africa. He'll chime in on that. But anyway, we start with the first symbol, the what they call the mazuko or the mazel. That's the crops. And as I told you last week, they don't have grapes because in solidarity with the Cesar Chavez movement, that at the time the Kwanzaa was created, they was respecting the boycott of grapes. So the official celebration of Kwanzaa by the official individuals would never put grapes out as a part of the crops. They would put all the other fruits. And then the makika, which is the mat, and that serves as the foundation by which everything else stands on. And, you know, we have to have a foundation, you know, that's very critical. And that, so that they get a mat and they put the, that's the big mat you see. You put the all the symbols on that mat. All right. Then the canera, and that's the canera, the candle holder. It's generally one that reflects Africa or Africa symbolism. There's a lot of them being made in Africa. There's a brother that's in Africa shipping some back, made out of special woods and things of that nature. And it's just a very beautiful thing to have in your home for those 7 days. All right. Then the mahindi, and that's the corn. That represents the ears of the corn is how many children do you have? If you have one, you put 1 ear of corn. If you have 10, you put 10 ears of corn. They're reflective of the children that you have, all right? And then Mashuma, Saba. Again, you know, you're talking about the candles, the seven candles. And you have a black one to signify the people in the middle. And then you have three red ones to symbolize struggle and three green ones that symbolize the future and the freedom that we will see from struggle. And that's very, very important. And then Kikombe Cha Umoja, the unity cup. That's the unity cup that you see there, that they generally have that. Now, you don't have to have all these symbols, but this is what they recommend from the organizers. In the Zawade, the type of gifts that they give is generally books. You don't go out and buy a bunch of toys and you don't put a bunch of balloons out and a bunch of, you know, it's like if you're going to give somebody something, you know, you just give them something educational or African type of cultural gift, something modest and things of this nature. And so those are very, and the two supplemental is the bandera. The bandera is the African flag. That's behind my head. Now, the Marcus Garvey flag is red, black, and green. But Dr. Karenga changed it to black, red, and green because he wanted the people first, struggle second, and the flourish and the beauty and the achievements from the struggle in green. So that's why you see black, red, and green behind my head instead of green, red, black, and green that Marcus Garvey did as the African American. And then Google Saba poster, you can add that. These are just things you can add besides these seven. The first seven are you know, basic. These are just things that they add. Then Google Saba poster is something that generally has the seven principles by which Kwanzaa was built on. But then Google Saba comes from the philosophy of Kawaida, which means Kawaida is a study of African, the best of African thought and practices and an ongoing synthesis in exchange with the world. And in other words, we put our culture up against the world's, everybody else's culture. And if our culture is not sacred, theirs can't be sacred. They have to have just as much respect for African culture as we have for them. And we look for the best of African excellence and practice with regards to that advocacy from the Kawaida philosophy, which I'm a student of, and I try my best to practice it. So the whole thing, one aspect of then Google Saba. And let me go back to this. The 7 days is very important. The first day you light the black candle, and that's called Umoja Night. And that's when there's two major gatherings of the people during the celebration, the opening night and the closing night. Those are the two official days that people come together in celebration of Kwanzaa. Umoja Night is the lighting of the black candle and the night that the founder gives the theme for Kwanzaa that year and the founder's statement of Kwanzaa for that year. Like one of the statements is Kwanzaa in the midst of the pandemic for this year and how to celebrate it going through the dealing with the pandemic. So Umoja is the lighting of the black candle. That's the first night. And that's the first principle in the Nguzo Saba, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And you know how difficult that is. That's why he said to strive for it. Because it's going to be a struggle to stay in unity with your family, community, nation, and race, because we're so diverse. And we're so into different aspects of philosophies that we practice. But Kawaida is a black philosophy created for black people and instituted by black people. The seven principles come from a black perspective and applicable to us. And, you know, one of the rationales for the celebration of Kwanzaa is you're celebrating yourself, something in the hills of America that black people created out of the struggle of the 1965 rebellion and as institutionalized, whereas it's celebrated on every continent on the planet now and on planet Earth, and that it's millions of people celebrate and recognize Kwanzaa, and it's gone mainstream with Obama's family recognizing it and having Kwanzaa celebrations, as well as entertainers and news people announcing it along with the other winter solstice holidays and recognitions, Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa. So, and you can celebrate all three, all one, you know, and things of that nature. So it's very, very critical for us to deal with that. The second principle, which is the hub and hinge of Kwanzaa, is Kujichagulia, which means self-determination. And then we're gonna have to take some questions after this one, to define ourselves. We tell people who we are. They don't tell us who we are. They don't talk about we went to Africa to get slaves. They went to Africa to get Africans, and they came, and then they enforced them into slavery. That's why we said, you know, we were enslaved. We're not slaves by itself. We were enslaved. We are human beings with a great history and a great legacy. We brought civilization to the world. We brought spirituality to the world. You know, Ethiopia, look at the cradle of civilization. We built pyramids. We created writing on the piper's paper. We were the first to start entombing the dead and things of this nature. When they talk about they found a pyramid or they found a tomb, that's grave robbing. You understand? That's sacredness. And so the point is that you have to know that history and see it from an Afrocentric perspective in order to understand that. So to define ourselves, is we define who we are. We name ourselves. We name ourselves after our culture. I know our parents named us European names. X, you know, that's why the Nation of Islam said they was X, Robert X. This and that. They wouldn't take the last surname of the slave of the persons that enslaved them. But the point is that, you know, most people are named after their culture. So I changed my name in 1974, because I wasn't ready to change it when it was suggested for me to change it in 1970, with Big Black, who played with Hugh Masekela. He came to one of my lectures, and we got to be good friends, and I started following their music, and he followed me, and he said, "Man, you need to change your name to Amun-Ra." 1971 or 1972, and I said, I hadn't changed. I was still Malcolm at night, but Superfly at night, Malcolm in the day. I had made when you change your name, you have to change and represent the best of that name that you live up to, so when I changed, then I changed my name in 1974, but I wasn't ready when he asked me to do it. I was still in the streets and doing wild and crazy things that, I've asked the ancestors to forgive me for. But anyway, create for ourselves. And that's very important. There's so much creativity that is left in us as a people. Creativity is very important. Brother Rashkani, Rashiki is wanting us to put a book together. That's creativity, create mind. The Johnson did it with Ebony and the Jet. They put the magazine together. A Third World Press with the Hakeem Mahadibuti and Institute of Positive Education published a lot of Black books. Carter G. Woodson started African Heritage magazines and historical magazine, and as well as he wrote the book Miseducation of the Negro. Du Bois wrote books and articles. Some of our Frederick Douglass was a great writer. Writing is very important, and that's a part of creativity, as long as other aspects, if you go into various instruments and tools that we created, the red lights, the open heart surgery, the sugar that goes into everything, refining of sugar, the potato chip, the Saratoga chip to turn into the potato chip. All of these things came from the minds of African people. And I'm not saying other people didn't create things. We didn't create everything. But we do have a created motif. And that's very important. And then speak for ourselves. The white folks always chose Black leaders for us. You understand? And it's time for us to speak for ourselves through our young and through our experiences as an African people. Yeah, you have some rap songs that are bad, but you have some rap songs that had consciousness in them, that were uplifting. And when rap first came out, hip hop is not a culture. You understand? It's just a practice that young people participate in. I'll tell you, street gangs are a culture. They have a flag, they have a dance, they have a holiday, you understand? They have a spiritual practice. When one died, pouring wine in the grave. They have, they ritualize it. They love themselves so much and they ritualize it. They write a C if they're a Crip, carve it in them, or tattoo it on their bodies or something. Some even carve it in if they can't get it when they're in prison. And then they so deep that when they read a book, if a Crip reading a book, every B he see cross out. In juvenile, Machinda knows about that. And then the same thing with Bloods. If they see a C, they cross out a C. And that's why in juvenile hall, they make people walk with their hands in their pockets or behind their back, because they'll throw a gang sign and throw it down and step on it, then it'd be a fight. So that's why they make them walk with their hands in their pockets. And when I got there, I thought it was demeaning. I said, no, you don't have to do that. I had to change right away, because they was fighting every time we walked them in line and no movement. But then I understood why they did that, you understand? And sometimes that's amazing from the standpoint. Even in jail, they have different tiers for different gangs, ethnic gangs as well, different visiting hours so that they don't cross each other and create riots and fight. Different times on the yard for each other, different visiting hours. They have respect for that culture. That's how deep it is. All right. Can I just see that symbol again? Make sure I'm finished with it. Yeah. Speak for ourselves. We have to speak a special truth, our own special truth to the world. All this cancel culture stuff. You understand? All this stuff, the trying to suppress it. You know, the European, they keep talking about Trump's big lie. This whole country is a big lie. It's history and what it is about. And the cold-blooded thing is, many of the white people know it's a lie, but they choose to respect it, go along with it, because it empowers them. And that's why people support Trump. Not because what he's saying is true, but it empowers them and gives them a sense of, we're not going to turn this country. My kids going to grow up with people of color ruling it and having equal status as they have. So anybody have any questions up to this point with regards to these, or make any comments? Joe, you want to comment on anything?
No, not right at the moment. I'll let the others ask some questions. I kind of lost my train of thought. It was something you said that I wanted to comment on, but it'll probably come back to me. Go.
Okay, Brother Mashenda, did you have any comment? I'm going to get to your recipe.
Yeah, just, just what you're talking about, I'm in agreement, and, what you're sharing, the protests, the upliftment, the empowerment of Black people, across the diaspora, obviously, evidently there's an issue. There's a problem that's been going on. There's things that's been going on for a long time. And, what you're talking about, as it relates to Kwanzaa and all the, the tenets of Kwanzaa, it makes sense because, it identifies, it's all about what's lacking, it's a state of emergency. We have, our young children, and adults, but, our young, our generations that are going on, that's coming after each other, they're missing the boat, and it's getting worse and worse in terms of, there's a lot of good things, as you point out in the past, podcast, there's a lot of good things to talk about, but, there's definitely it's imperative that, these principles are introduced and carried out on a regular basis, not just between December 26th and January 1st, but, like you say, when, it's a good time when everybody's in a celebrative type of mode, they're, celebrating something, holidays, happy holidays, it's a good time when, people are off school, some people are off work, people are home with family, to identify with what's real, the commonality is that where it relates to America and Africa, it's like, hey, like you say, the enslavement of Black people, of African people, we're not slaves, by tradition, we're human beings. We're powerful people on the planet, evidence shows such, but, the interference and the gross, attacks against people, Black folks, and it has come to this, we talked, because in previous podcasts, we talk about the school systems and things like that. you know, and it all goes together. It all ties into, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, unless we understand, you know, as a, you know, from a cultural standpoint, from a social and economic standpoint, in terms, you know, unity, we have to have unity, you know, unity, one of the principles, we have to have unity in order to, you know, get something done, you know, so it's pretty basic, you know, what's being said in terms of, you know, like a schematic on how do we progress as people, how do we move forward as people, how do we wake up as people, you know, so really it's not really a you know, a comment, you know, everything you're saying is you know, and is truth. And unless we all subscribe to, you know, these principles, you know, and there's other principles, but like I say, this is not the cure all, but it's a, you know, Dr. Karanga created a blueprint for, hey, like, check this out, you know, this, you know, let's, you know, it's like, say, it's not the cure all, but it's in the direction of, like, unless we come together as people, you know, as a group, as a race, you know, I mean, we'll continue to, you know, watch the news and see and talk about, you know, these incidents, these things that happen on TV, the tasings of people and the killing of Black folks and all these other things, you know, until we can show up to school board meetings and become politically active, become politically motivated, become involved in every aspect of our lives, you know, from the, you know, hey, PTA meetings, you know, show up, you know, show up, you know, so it, you know, I, like I say, I'm kind of rambling because I don't really have much to say other than, you know, it's you're dead on it, you know, and for you to introduce this, to spend your time on a Monday night to bring this up, you know, I know you could be doing other things, but, you know, it's, you know, very well said. And it's, I would say it is more of the same, but it's not. It's whoever's listening, you know, once you hear it, you know, you implement it and you do it, you know, you carry it out, you know, so that's the whole goal. So again, I'm just talking out loud to not people on this podcast, but anybody else who may be listening, who might stumble across this, you know, that this is real, you know, and anyway, I'm going to shut up right now, but I enjoy listening and I appreciate you, you know, spending your time trying to educate the masses.
Okay, you must be kind. And I just want to just add two things, build on what you said. One is that we, you know, Umoja is striving toward unity because we know it's very difficult. Second, we don't expect for all Black people to be a part of this. You understand? That's our diversity. It's you have to choose to be African. You can't just, you know, you're American by habit because you was raised here and you was taught this by our parents and you didn't see anything uniquely different from Americanism. Thirdly is that, you know, people that can't celebrate itself is lost forever. Every holiday and every aspect, it was created. Birthdays were created. You understand? Every holiday that you can think of, Easter, Christmas, they were all created. They got a history. Every one of them got a history. Easter, the Easter's named after a freak day. Painting women and then they go hide and that's where they get the Easter egg hunt from. You understand? Getting them naked, painting them. Some the pagan stuff that they got. You know, you just read the history of it. Halloween, how you gonna tell your kids there ain't no such thing as ghosts and goblins and then dress them up like one? You understand? And no devils and things of this nature. And then you tell them don't eat that much candy. Then you let them go get a whole bag full of candy. You understand? You tell them, I mean, it's just madness, straight madness out of the Celtic festival of warding off evil things. They used to have bonfires during Halloween. They called it Devil Night in Detroit. Somebody always, Detroit, they poisoned the candy. You had to put it in x-rays. They put razor blades in them to cut up the kids. I mean, what are you doing out there getting stuck? Don't take things from strangers. Then you say, well, we're going to go into this strange neighborhood where white people, that's because they give bigger candies and bigger gifts. What are you, crazy? You understand? But anyway, Rocky, go ahead, brother. I can get on with Christmas too. You know, they don't know what day Jesus was born. You understand? It definitely wasn't in December. But go ahead. Go ahead, Rashi.
I just wanted to, I don't know if you mentioned it already, but Mashinda just mentioned it. The starting day and the ending date for, and how many days is practice.
Okay, I was going to get to that, yeah.
Okay.
As I went through the symbols, it starts on January 26th. So it has nothing to do with Christmas. Some people like to say it's a Black Christmas, and I ain't giving them my Christmas, and ain't but one. It had nothing to do with Christmas. It's about seven principles. and really, Christmas, most people think Christmas is about Santa Claus, not Jesus. You know what I mean? I asked the kids, did they ask Jesus for something or did they ask Santa Claus for something? You know what I mean? Sit on a white man's knee and tell them what you want and you never get it. In houses that don't even have a shimley before you slide his fat self down. You understand? Have your kids put stuff in the stockings for Santa. And all that stuff. I mean, come on. Go ahead, Roger. Any other thing, Roger Keith?
That was the wrong date you gave. You said January 26th.
December 26th to January 1st.
Okay.
And Ogoja night is the first night of celebration. And then what they call the Paramu is on the 31st. And that's the big feast and the big celebration. All the other days in between, some people have special days that they celebrate. Like my son, every year, he put on a Ogoja night. Or he have one night that we take one of the principals, he put on at his house, and all the family go over there. And I discuss, but they have food and they sit around and play various games. And it's just a way of coming together. And then I discuss the principles and the values to the kids and everybody that's in a circle. And we do that every year. We have to do it Zoom during pandemic. And that's what I'm going to get to. Kwanzaa during pandemic, but that's good. Roger, you have any comments?
Yeah, I actually do. I think you said something incredibly important about not just defining ourselves, but it's very important about the words that we are careful to say as we're defining ourselves, because we've been so ingrained in the Western European culture from the get-go that we have to kind of unlearn some of these terms. Like we talk about being slaves. You weren't being slaves, you were enslaved. But it's so ingrained into the culture, we keep speaking that. And when we speak that, we're giving life to those words, and those words are becoming part of us when it's not even truth. So I think what you said about being careful about defining ourselves also needs to be careful about the words we choose when we're making those definitions, so we're not defeating the purpose of defining ourselves with terms that don't make sense.
Good. You know, Dr. Ernie Smith, who, and along with Robert Williams, introduced the term Ebonics. Ebonics means ebony, black, and phonic sounds. And many Negroes talked against it because they didn't understand what they were saying. And they were saying there were some African retentions in our linguistical expression, that certain sounds we make was not part of our African culture. So when we pronounce things like best, we say best. We leave the T out because of that. It's just like what Brother Hemrick would say, there's no such thing as Negro land in Africa. So where did the term Negro come from? Spanish, which means black, European, that's still Europe, or either a degradation of black. When you add something to black, a lot of people, you black MF, you black, my black A, that black itch with a B. You understand? I mean, we degraded. And the Europeans taught us to do that because that's what they used to call us. You black itch, you black hen, you black this and that and this and that. They whip it. And we borrow that language. It's an English language. You're not going to find those terms in Swahili, or you're not going to find them in African dialects on the continent. Because, as I said before, there's no such thing as a black African because there ain't no other kind. You understand? And so it's very pure that we look at Ebonics as a way of teaching black people as a second language instead of flunking them for not and giving them bad grades for the way they pronounce words. You know, we're not professional speakers like Leslie on Channel 7 and all the other articulate sports broadcasters. They go to school and get retraining in the right pronunciation of English names and right pronunciation. They're speaking what they call professional English, and they want our kids to sound like that. See, that's the of domination. When they get you to give up your own culture, you become absorbed in their culture. You understand what I'm saying? When you give up what your mother and father teach you, don't use drugs, and you start using drugs, that means you become a part of the drug culture. You understand? But if you never took it, like Rasha Keys into health, you understand? So certain things he's not going to put in his body. Brother Hembrick is in deep in the health. They go to health food stores and all that stuff, buy herbs and keep them healthy and, you know, and things of this nature, which is good. You understand? But at the same time, you have to have mental and spiritual health also as well as nourishment. But you're correct about the use of language and how you use it. And we try to think positive about our Africanness because blackness means excellence. Africa means excellence. You know, we teach that. Brother Doctor, good doctor, you have any comment?
I just had one or two. Thanks. This is all new to me. I heard of Kwanzaa. Never knew what it stood for. Never understand it. Even had, at work, they had little Kwanzaa parties. So this is great information. And you said something earlier. You said something that was number two. You said most blacks won't even celebrate. I think you said like 60%. You know, don't do their thing. Do you think that will, it's harming Kwanzaa?
If you don't have, like I said, if you don't have food, you know, you're not looking for a house. You're not looking for a bicycle. You're not looking for a car. You're looking for some food. And so the same thing with shelter. If you need shelter, you're not looking for, a car. You're looking for somewhere where you can find some warmth and some protection from the elements out there. So you have to always understand the challenge of Kwanzaa with regards to some people. Some people have anything that come up black, they look, even among some black people, not all, the conscious ones, no, they don't. And I'm not talking about any of y'all that's on the air today. They've been taught that black, anything black is bad. You know, from like angel food cake is white, as Malcolm said, devil food cake is black. You understand? Black doctor you are, you know, the uglier you are, you know, the broader your nose, the thicker your lips. So we've been ingrained in that. So when we come up with our own holiday, you're going to find Negroes that speak against it. And just against it because it was created by black people for black people. They want to be integrated. They want to go where white people go. I'm the only Negro in the neighborhood. And you know, I'm the only Negro on the job. You understand? You know, I'm privileged because they accept me. You know, I can go eat hors d'oeuvres on the White House lawn. You understand? You're just a fleeing milk. That's all you are. You know? But anyway, wait, the second part, Doc.
Yeah, no. So, okay, yeah, with that, another thing, like I said, I didn't know all of the stuff like you just pointed out here. The slideshow is excellent. And like I said, I heard of Kwanzaa, never looked it up, and probably have never looked it up. You know? So, I mean, but I was celebrating, and that's my question. Is it wrong, or is it okay? Is there any harm to celebrate Kwanzaa and not know all the stuff you just taught us?
Well, most people do that.
Is that fine? Like, is that okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning, and then maybe sometime they'll look it up and see that Kwanzaa is really the celebration of what you've done all year. You practice these principles all year. Stop and think. If young people practice these principles just some other time, you understand? How much violence would be stopped among ourselves? How much property crimes would be gone down? If we just saw each other as sacred beings toward each other, the highest respect, the same respect you have for your God, your Jesus, your Moses, your Abraham, your major theology people, your minister, you uncussed in front of the minister, even though in Friday they had a scene where they were offering the minister was weed and stuff like that, but Bernie Mac. But I'm just saying that, you know, they even denigrate some ministers, but you have reverence. When that man said, "I'm Dr. Reverend," this, you give him reverence, you know. And so this is the same thing. We give you reverence even when you don't. In Kaweda philosophy, we put our hands over our heart when we see each other and we bow our head. You understand? Abanigani. You understand? And we embrace. You understand? This show that is heartfelt. It's heartfelt. That's why we put our hand on our heart. You understand? It's heartfelt. When we make a pledge, we have what we call the kiapo. Our brother and sisterhood and struggle is profound and forever. You understand? And we go into a whole pledge. Like people pledge allegiance, we pledge ourselves to Black people. And we will always respect, love, create, and do these things with regards to that. And so, yeah, if, you know, people do what they can, whatever little bit they can. They just don't number to say, "I like Kwanzaa." That's good. That's a start. If they don't even practice and don't want to know anything about it, but just say, "Well, everybody else doing it, I'm doing it." It's just like I used to tell people in my classes, because I used to have hundreds of people in my class. Some people wasn't even in my class. They just came because they saw a bunch of people coming in and they thought it was something going on. And you understand? And hey, come on in. You understand? And then maybe you'll learn something about your history, your culture. I mean, you'd be surprised about Black people who think Blackness is just skin color or Blackness is just hating white people. No, Blackness is about loving your people, respecting your people, and struggling for liberation and development and progress. We are entitled to part of the social wealth and opportunities in this country because of our struggle here and because of their exploitation of us. And because they built on the foundation of our labor and the extinction of the Native American and the exploitation of women of color and other ethnic groups. So, I mean, I taught ethnic studies. And so, you know, I know we ain't the only people that were enslaved. We aren't the only people that were victimized by the system. So you have to develop appreciation for their struggles also. But they have their holidays. You know, the Native American, they have their special days. Latinos have their special days. Other groups have their special days. Why can't we have ours? You understand? And so Dr. Karanga them said, during the midst of the struggle, we're going to create a holiday. It didn't catch on right away. You know, it started off small, like we starting off small with a small group, but it grew and grew and grew as people got more information. Brother Hembrick, you want to add anything? And Doctor, did I answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. One more. Okay. I maybe missed it in the slides. So why was it picked for this time of the year, January 26th to the 1st?
That's part of the winter solstice.
Okay.
That's when the ancient Africans around this time celebrated the Day of the Fruits, of the fresh fruit, and harvest time, and at the end of harvest time, the fall. And that's the way they did it. It's part of that same thing. That, well, almost all your major holidays is during the winter solstice, of the major Western religion, except for Islam. But some Islam activities are practiced during the winter solstice. Some of them even do Ramadan during the winter solstice, or fast. Brother Joe, you want to add anything, Brother Hembrick?
Yeah, just a little bit. As far as celebrating, like it says, the birthday of Jesus, almost every deity in all of these various religions, birthday is December 25th. Although when I was a Bible thumper, it was, and I was doing research, terms of biblically, Jesus really would have been born according to the way they talk about the stars in the Bible. It actually would have been around March or April, somewhere around that time where he actually would have been born. And another comment I want to make about the Swahili language, from the research I've done, during the time of Makeda, which the Bible calls the Queen of Sheba, there was a trade route from East Africa all the way into Asia, through all the major countries, even to China. And the language, kind of developed along the trade route so that those traders could understand each other. And they were black at the time. And let me just say what Brother Rob was saying, that there ain't another kind of African, but a black African. It's hard for them Arabs in Egypt to accept that. That's why, what was the brother's name that got assassinated?
Anwar Sadat.
Sadat. When he said, I'm the first true Pharaoh in the last 2,000 years. He made that statement. A lot of people didn't know what he was talking about, but he was talking about the connection to those black pharaohs who had come before him. And the last comment I'm going to make, when Rob was talking about the inventions, we may not have invented everything, but we damn near did invent almost everything. And a lot of times the European would take credit, because the enslaved was the one who was inventing it. Like you find about these brothers, like the guy Jack Daniels is finally admitting that it was one of his, I think that brother's name was Green, the one who actually, invented the mixture and the flavor to create Jack Daniels and other kind of liquor. So, I must say that damn near everything that's in the world came from some form of African creation prior to that. They may have expounded on it, but everything in Western civilization came straight up out of Africa. That's all I'm going to say. And Brother Raw, you can continue on with your lecture.
If it wasn't from Africa, it was inspired by Africa. That's for sure. And so we as a people must always maintain our dignity and respect for others that have created things and respect for their creativity. But as Joe was saying, we created the one thing that led to all creation for social development and prosperity. And that is the civilization. The first functioning aspect of civilization was family. And family was the first organized social unit, for protection and development. Now, people had families, but, it was survival of the fittest. They ended up killing each other, beating each other, raping each other, incest, all kinds of stuff. But we brought morality and ethics to family, to the matriarchal system of the woman. who had the children, and she trained them for protection and development and stability and maturity and growth from that standpoint. And that's outlined in John G. Jackson's book, I think page 54, Introduction to African Civilization. And he talks about the matriarchal system. And Joe speaks about it, Brother Hemrick speaks about it often, historian Hemrick. And so we deal with that. Brother Rasha Key, you want to add anything?
Keep going right along.
All right, then. Okay, we're going to go through these real quick.
Brother Ross, if I could, yeah. Minute. I know Brother Rogers was talking about words that are used and this and that. And we're talking about Black, we're talking about African, and we're talking about Negro. Actually, the word Africa is not a quote-unquote African word. That's a Greek word also. The oldest known, well, you know, a lot of people refer to it as Kemet, you know, as far as Africa. But the oldest known one is Akibu line that I have found that describes Africa. And we can call it Black if you want, but Black tells you what you look like, but it doesn't tell you who you are. So I encourage everyone to do any kind of research on our people to see what was happening before we came here. And if you study the history of what we did before we came, the stuff that has us gripped right now by the throat, you can see it plain as day. And let me just say this about the enslavement in the West. The enslavement in the Caribbean and South America was 150 years before it ever came to the United States. And it was much harsher, a much harsher type of enslavement. And I don't know if anybody ever had the chance to see the movie called Sankofa, which reveals some of that harshness that was going on. And it was actually more African people brought to Brazil than ever came to the United States, okay? So just want to make that clear. But there's plenty of works out there that you can read and get up on that. For example, like that movie with the brothers and the cowboy, what's his name? Herba or something, I think Doctor was talking about that movie. What's the brother that's a British actor and getting all these African-American parts, what's his name?
Idris Elba.
Yeah, him. And that Western. There's a total mischaracterization, not total, but a lot of mischaracterization of some of the figures that are in that movie. You know, like Mary and Cherokee Bill and all of those people. A work that has a lot more clear definition on that is a book called The Black West by William Katz. You also have a book called The Black Indians, which is a great book. I tell you, if you pick that Black Indian book up, you ain't gonna put it down till you finish. It is that enticing to the black mind. So anyway, I just want to interject, you know, that's my job, interject a little historical stuff from time to time. And I'm gonna let the brother get on with with his lecture, which he's a master at. So Brother Ra.
Right. I will say Sante Sana for that input too. And that was good to us to know. And one of the books that really outline or keep in line is Dr. Yusuf Ben's book, The Cultural Curriculum of Black Studies, one of his first books, as well as Man, God, not Man, God, and Civilization. That's a Chancellor William. The Western, three major Western religions, he talks about it in that book. And Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan also have a pamphlet on the chronology of Bibles and things of this nature. And him and John Henry Clark, self-taught historians, and really went deep into, they not only researched it, they went to Africa to see for themselves. You know, Chancellor Williams said he did his first 30 years He said he didn't go to Africa to study African history. He went to Europe because that's where they stole all the artifacts. It was in the museum, the British Museum. So he started his journey there. But anyway, let me get back to these principles so we can get to it. Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility. We must train our children that they're part of a team and they got to work together. And, you know, you got to teach them to be politically conscious, politically aware, geographically knowledgeable. And these are things that parents that have the ability to teach that should teach. Those that don't care and those that ain't into that, they're not going to do it. But those of us that, as Rasha Key said, that are no more, each one teach one. And that starts with the parent. And Brother Rogers is always deep into that. And so we must begin to expect excellence, but you can't expect your kids to be excellent if you don't participate in encouraging them that, giving them incentives and rewards for demonstrating excellence in character and in academic and intellectual attainment to build and maintain our communities together. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't that? To build and maintain our communities together. Ain't nothing wrong with having a Black community. They'll be moving away from themselves. I don't understand that. But anyway, and make our brothers and our sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. I can understand, you know, cat breaking in your house every week, you got to move. You know that? People beating up your children on the way to school, shooting at them and stuff. Yeah, I understand. But we need to correct this also. We need those to strive toward correcting this in the future. And hopefully that generation of disruption move on. Next slide. Ujima, cooperative economics, the importance of money, the importance of the medium of exchange, the value of money. It's the best thing you can do with money is save it. Just stop and think if our kids had all the money they spent on Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and all that stuff, they could open up a little business when they get. Teach them like you were saying, he wanted to buy more property. You know, entrepreneurship, a sense of the value of money for your future, not just for right now, not, you know, going to the ice cream truck with every time you get a dollar. You know, I mean, save it. You know, you got ice cream, you got food in the house and you still go out. And it's like people that go shopping, spend $150 on groceries and then stop at McDonald's on the way home. You know, what is this about? You understand? I mean, it's good. You got the money, but you're wasting. Why buy ground beef if you ain't going to cook it? You know, I mean, you can make a better hamburger than Mac. His ain't even all beef. Oh, they call giraffe meat, all kind of stuff mixed up in it. It's just like meatloaf. You know, they put crackers in it, stretch it and all that. You don't know what additives they didn't put in the meat. You understand? The same thing with chicken. They was growing chicken so fast they was growing up without feathers. You understand? And Kentucky said, we'll take them. I mean, come on. But anyway, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. We want, Doc would say, we want that dollar to turn over 4 or 5 times in the community, but we have to hold the businesses accountable. The reason we have less Black businesses than before is because of integration and because of a migration away from the community. People are looking for other opportunities other than within themselves. Next slide, NIA, purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. If you don't, you know, listen. If you see yourself as a thug, you're gonna be a thug. If you don't see yourself as a moral and ethical being, and it's hard, when you're in hell, it's hard to act like you divine. But that's the struggle. That regardless of the system of you're only guilty if you get caught, you understand, and all is fair in war and love, and that you can build paradise off other people's misery, got to stop. So we want to deal with the environment. You know, this man don't care if he's killing his kids in the future or killing the earth. He think he's going to be in a spaceship with Michael Strand and going up in space, just going straight up and down, talking about they in space. And the earth is already in space. There's nothing up under the earth. You're part of an orbit. You're part of a solar system. You know, I mean, these people are mad. They just make up stuff. They even, what do they got? The hell Bob climate. The Milky Way. They just make these names up. You understand? But Africans, the Dogon star, the Dogon people named after, they named the star after the people. You understand? That discovered it without a telescope. You see? Built a pyramid so deep and so level, they never could get the ground as level as they did, the first pyramid. And Brother Henry can talk about that next time we talk. But go ahead. Kuma, creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way that we can in order to leave our communities more beautiful and more beneficial than we inherited. We owe it to our children to fight for environmental justice and environmental correctness and stop this madman from, you know, saying, hey, I don't care what happened to the rest of the world as long as I live good now. You know, they got them living off a canyon, living off on top of the hill, you know, and didn't want to know what's going on when the flood and the fire come. They do anything. Now, I remember they were building houses by the San Onofre nuclear plant. White folks was running there rather than live in the same neighborhood with black people. They'd rather live where they can get cancer versus living among black people. Now, is that sick or not? You have to ask your question, one fundamental question. What did we ever do to them? We know what they did to us and still doing. But what makes them hate us or victimize us and other people of color who have never done anything to them? That throws people off, man. You know what I mean? That throws people off. So we're going to leave it at this with this, Imani. I hope y'all will get into Kwanzaa if you ain't, and hope you celebrate it this year. You know, there will be a Kwanzaa celebration. I was International Festival out of New York, NACO, National Organizations of Kawita, National Kawita Organizations. Kawita National Organization, NACO, National Organization of Kawita Organization. It will be sponsoring a Karamu on the 30th of this month, and I'll get the information. It'll be on the website if you want to join me. I think it's going to cost $10, and then you can be a part of the Kwanzaa celebration for this year. If there's no other questions, Brother Rasha Key, you can go ahead and tell them what's on Wednesday and close us on out.
So, did anybody else have a question or comment for Professor Ra? Okay. So, on Wednesday, we're going to have my daughter. She's a junior in college, and she's going to answer a total of 15 questions plus the question that's going to be from the panel. I had at least 15 people send me questions. I asked for one question, but they were sending me more than one, but it should be very interesting. It's from people that's affiliated with this podcast and, you know, former guests and current guests. So that should be interesting. So that's Wednesday. Here we go. Who we got? Who we got there, Brother Hembry?
This is our speaker for Monday, the first Monday in January. I believe it's January the 3rd. Brother, I don't know if you can make this. I can make this picture bigger.
Let me see. I can do the view.
That's his book.
Speaker.
Yeah, this is his book. It's entitled We Will Shoot Back. It's about the the armed resistance and the Mississippi Freedom Movement. I used to be of the belief that, you know, them brothers down south kept their heads bowed and with all that docility and whatnot. And this book changed my perspective on that whole matter. This brother, Akili Omojo, is a tar baby, went to Compton High, graduated in 1972. And during our time at Compton High, we were, you know, we were greatly influenced by Malcolm and a lot of stuff that was going on during the late 60s and early 70s. And Akili Omojo is currently the head of the Black Studies Department at Georgia State University. So he's a Compton guy, actually played basketball with Ernest Hall. I guess we had, about a week or so ago, they were both on the B basketball team. But heavy brother, I went to hear him at Loyola a couple of years ago when my daughter was going there. He was there to speak. So if you can see this picture, it's a brother laying in the weeds. He has on overalls and he has a rifle. And a lot of time when the marches and protests would go on, these brothers would be along the perimeter, you know, looking for them crackers that was coming, trying to disrupt stuff. And I mean, they was really seriously busting caps on a whole lot of them rednecks down south. So I think it'd be an interesting topic for all of us to check out. But this is on January the 3rd at 6 o'clock. And you can see the title, We Will Shoot Back. So.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Akinyella. Good brother. We had him at the Culture Center speaking once.
Okay. So what we got next week, Professor Ross?
All right.
Oh, and I think if anybody wants to get the book ahead of time, I'm sure it's available on Amazon. I'm pretty sure. But it's a great read. Really raised some eyebrows to me as far as what was actually going on down there at that time. So, go on, Rasha Key. You got the flow.
All right. Professor Rob, we on next week?
Yeah.
You got something for us? I'll
give it to you tomorrow. I'll talk to Brother Hendrick tomorrow.
Okay. And,
we'll be
in the second day of Kwanzaa.
All right.
Yeah. Next Monday will be the second day of Kwanzaa.
Okay.
All right, folks. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Good evening.
All right.